What I do need is a very willing volunteer to come up who's under 19. There is a prize. It's not a cheesy sweet. So if there's a volunteer here, come on, guys. Come on, I'm looking straight at the back here. Come on. Don't make me call your name out, Gracie. Is Gracie there? Oh, no, we got another volunteer. Perfect. Come on. Yes. Do you like treasure?
Don't like treasure.
Yeah, do you like treasure?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, we do like. Who doesn't like treasure? Hold on to that. Who doesn't like treasure? So, I wanted a sandbox, but I thought if I take a sandbox, I'm going to be carrying it for miles. I'm not carrying a sandbox for miles. So, if you want to have a look on there, see what you can find, okay? Whatever you find, you can keep.
Yeah, okay.
You might want to put the poo bag away, though, but whatever you find, you can keep. So, we just open it up the front here, see what we can find. I wanted a sandbox, because in the sandbox you can put a poo bag in there, but I can't really do that here. So if you had kids, they're probably quite useful. Well, don't you have kids yet, do you? Come on, a little bit quicker. Come on. It's nearly 7 o'clock. Come on. So when we're searching for treasure, we use metal detectors or stuff, don't we? But say this was sands, how would we get to the treasure in the sand straight away? What would be a good clue? Making this hard, aren't we? Yes, yes. Willing volunteer, it pays off, doesn't it? Perfect. You thought it was going to be sweets, didn't you? Brilliant. So how did you feel when you found that?
Happy.
Yes. You can buy sweets with it, or you can just buy whatever, can't you?
I didn't expect to find it. I just thought it was all of those balls.
Bless you. No, thanks a lot. Yeah, take a £5 note. Yeah, of course you can. Yeah, so keep it. So, someone's blessed tonight. If my preaching is that bad, at least he's blessed, isn't he? So I was going to say, what do you think the story's about tonight? But Paul's given it away because he said hidden treasure at the start. Anyway, so let's start, shall we? So the parable of the hidden treasure, Matthew 13. Matthew 13, it says in the slide, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy, covered it up, went back, sold all that he had, and he bought that field. You know, it's a really, really short verse, isn't it? But I think there's loads of treasure in that verse itself. So what is the kingdom of heaven? You know, throughout the book of Matthew, over 40 times, Jesus talks in parables, stories. He just says, it's like this, it's like this, it's like this. He's trying to get the local people, the people of that time, to think, oh, that makes sense. If I'm a shepherd looking after sheep, that makes sense. And off that 40 parables, 19 times he said, the kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of... He's trying to get a point across, isn't he? 19 times of those 40 parables, he talked about the kingdom of heaven. Now, if you've read Mark and Luke will say the kingdom of God. Is it any different to the kingdom of heaven? It's not. It's exactly the same. Exactly the same. So the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God mean exactly the same thing. But when Jesus speaks about the kingdom of heaven, he's not talking or describing a physical location. He's not talking about Buckingham Palace. He's not talking about anything physical in the location. He's describing his reign, his righteous reign as Jesus. And as I say, the reign that Jesus refers to is his saving reign, his righteous reign, one in which demons are bound, sinners are forgiven, sickness is healed. We have the Holy Spirit sealed within us. He's poured out the gifts of his Holy Spirit. But also, the kingdom of heaven that Jesus describes is in two parts. The first one is here and now. Christ has already won over hell, death, and the grave, which brings forgiveness, righteousness, salvation, and his Holy Spirit. And the second aspect of the kingdom of heaven is to come. So the first is already here, the second is to come, which will be when Christ returns, where there'll be no more death, no more sin, no more illness, and eternal life with God. In a nutshell, The kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God are exactly the same thing. And the kingdom of heaven talks about the reign of Jesus Christ. And thirdly, it's both now and to come. So tonight we're in chapter 13 of Matthew. There's 28 chapters in Matthew. So we're pretty much halfway through the book of Matthew. What's happened already? Yes, Jesus has been born. We've had the shepherds and the angels. We've had people worship him from far off. But we've also seen Jesus the Messiah. We've seen Jesus asleep in the back of a boat, getting thrown around, smashed about. And he stands up and he rebukes the wind and the waves to the point at which his disciples go, who's that? They've seen him do miracles, but they've not seen him control the elements and the earth. He's cast out demons in the middle of synagogues. He's rebuked the leaders of their day. He's restored sight to the blind. He's opened the ears of the deaf. He's made the lame walk. What more do you need? But just before this chapter, Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like, the kingdom of heaven is like, the kingdom of heaven is like. But also before this, he speaks about the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount. He's talking about a kingdom which is upside down to his hearers. He says, if you're poor in spirit, you're going to inherit the kingdom of heaven. If you're meek, you'll inherit the earth. So his listeners are probably thinking, what? We're not expecting this as a Messiah. What's going on? So why were they so confused? The Jewish people now and then were expecting a Messiah. The Jewish people now are still waiting for the Messiah to come. They're expecting a Messiah to come with a sword in his hands, ready to fight the kingdoms of the earth and take it over by force. Jesus is saying, no, it's not who I am. It's not what I'm here to do. Instead of seeing the conquering king, they see a servant king telling them to love, be humble, to forgive, and to repent. And I believe this is why Jesus tells his listeners so many times, the kingdom of heaven is like, the kingdom of heaven is like, the kingdom of heaven is here, it's me. I'm the kingdom of heaven, it's my reign. So now we've discussed the kingdom of heaven, let's reread the verse. It says, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. A treasure hidden in a field. When the man found it, he hid it again, and in his joy went and sold all that he had. Not bits, but everything. Have you ever heard the stories about pirates? Because we live in the Southwest, you must have heard about the Pirates of the Penzance. These pirates who used to go out and steal from these mighty galleons carrying all their gold bullion, whatever else, coming back from the Americas. They used to go on, do lots of things that they shouldn't do, stole this gold. And they would come back to Penzance, or some cove off the southwest, and they'd hide their treasure. Or you may have heard of the Blackbeard, very infamous, done lots of things he shouldn't have done. But why did they bury the treasure? Simple, isn't it? Because it was to protect it from thieves. If you steal something, you don't want someone else to steal it from you, do you? And it's exactly what it was like in Jesus' time. They didn't have banks, they didn't have safe houses. So if you had something, I'm not going to use the balls, but if you had loads of gold, what would you do with it? You're not going to stick it in your backpack or under your pillow because the thieves are going to come in and they're going to take away what you have. So you'd have to find somewhere where you knew where to go. And you'd have to hide it. You'd have to dig deep down. You'd have to cover it over and make it look very inconspicuous. You know, I was writing this and I thought, this is a perfect time to stop, isn't it? And to give thanks to God. Because could you imagine not having a bank? If, for instance, how many times have you walked into your house or wherever you've been and set down the keys, be it house keys or car keys, set them down, walked off, done something else, and you come back, well, they've moved. Normally it's your wife that moves them, just saying. But you put your keys down and they're gone. Somewhere safe, you can't find them, can you? Or how many times have you walked into a room and gone, don't know what I'm doing here? So you walk back out of the room, still can't remember, walk down the stairs, it'll come to me. Thank God that we don't need memory. But have anyone met Catherine? Okay, Catherine's very competitive. So we went yomping or walking in the hills once, and I used to be in the Marines, and we didn't get lost because I was map reading. We just got misplaced. Okay, so we didn't get lost. And Catherine grabs the map of me and she says, "You're on the wrong hill." Ever since then, our map reading competitions, we just don't talk about maps. All I will say is when Catherine was map reading beside me in the car, she asked me, "What's 44 mean?" I said, "That's the page number." So, well, a little bit of the same. A little bit of the same. But we'd be arguing about, no, I knew where I put it. No, that's not the right way to go to it. Well, don't follow that map. You wrote that map and we'd be gone. We'd have lost a treasure a long time ago. So thank God for banks. You can imagine the conversations in our house, can't you? But anyway, the pirates remembered where the treasure was buried because they put an X marks the spot. Quite simple. An X marks the spot. But in our story tonight, it's not an X that marks the spot. It's the cross. It's the cross that marks the spot. It's the cross of Christ upon which he died that has brought us to these immeasurable riches. In Ephesians 3, verse 7 to 9, it says, "Of this gospel I was made a minister by the gift of God's grace given to me through the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace, which is undeserved, was graciously given to proclaim to the Gentiles the good news of the incomprehensible riches of Christ. That spiritual wealth which no one can fully understand, and to make plain to everyone the plan of the mystery which was kept hidden through the ages in the mind of God who created all things." In verse 8, Paul describes the boundless, immeasurable, incomprehensible riches of Christ. He compares Christ and his salvation to the treasure that is beyond worth, beyond number. And then in verse 9, he says, the treasure of Jesus. Jesus is your treasure, his salvation. God the Father kept that hidden, kept it safe, just at the right time. And in Colossians 2:2-3, it says, "For my hope is that their hearts may be encouraged as they are knit together in unselfish love, so that they may have all the riches that come from the full assurance of understanding the joy of salvation, resulting in a true and more intimate knowledge of the mystery of God, that is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." You know, Christ is beyond measure. You can't put him in a box of religion. The treasure of Christ is immeasurable. Have you ever found something? Maybe in the attic when you're going through boxes. Maybe you find something, a family heirloom that you've thought was lost years ago, but it's worth loads. It might not be thousands of pounds, but it's worth loads to you. It means a lot to you. Or maybe one week when you were struggling, you couldn't afford to eat, or get to the end of the month and you had your hand down the back of the sofa, you find a couple of quid. How do you feel? Well, the man in the story tonight, as he finds his treasure, how does he feel? We can assume he's looking for riches. Otherwise, why is he in a field? Why is he digging in a field that's not his? So that we can assume he's poor and in need of a miracle, which we all are. Imagine how he felt when he's shuffling, scrapes that first little bit, and he hears the clunk or the crack or the coins. And he's probably had loads of times like this, and he thinks, "Oh, probably just another root, probably something else. I'm probably just going to dig a hole. My hands are cracked. I'm hanging out. It's dry. I'm parched. I can't be bothered." But anyway, he gets on his knees, and he starts to push it away. All the dirt, his hands are bleeding and sore and cracked because it's quite hard. He pushes it away, and then he can see the top of the bag or the jar. How does he feel? Does he get excited? Or do you just think, "Oh, I can't be bothered"? Anyway, he pulls it up. It's a bag. And he looks inside. How does he feel? He's excited. Is he breathless? I bet his heart's going like the clappers. You know, when you think, oh, this could be it. This really could be it. He's got a dry mouth. He's got tears in his eyes. Dust run down his face. And yet, whilst covered in mud, dry aching hands, he has just found, he's found what he's been looking for. But that's not it, is it? He can't just take it home. He can't just get up and run away. To get this treasure, the man had to give up all that he had. What would you give up? Would you give everything up? So going back to the man, he's covered back over. He's tried to make it look like he's not been there. And then he sprints. He runs. Probably his legs can't catch up. But he gets back home and he tells his wife and his children, he's like, get everything, everything. She probably said, what? Get everything. We're going to sell everything. She's probably looking at him thinking, anyway, she does it. She gets the family heirlooms out. She gets a few sheep or a few cattle, whatever they have. Maybe they don't even have anything. Maybe it's just clothes off their back. Just enough to buy that field, which nobody wants. Just to buy that field. Now, this story does not suggest that you can buy your way into the kingdom of heaven. Nor does it say the kingdom of heaven is going to give you riches materially. You're going to be blessed beyond compare. It doesn't say that. But what it does show us is that what you have to give to get what you can't afford. Jesus in Luke, in the book of Luke, chapter 14, verse 26, tells his followers, anyone who comes to me and accepts salvation, but refuses to let go of his mum, his dad, his brother, his sister, his sibling, even himself, if you don't give up all to follow me, you can't be my disciple. It's a pretty high bar, isn't it? Would you give up everything? Really? You know, discipleship to follow Christ is costly, and he's told us that. Jim Elliot was an American missionary in 1956, and he was murdered at the age of 29 while spreading the good news of Jesus Christ. He said, he is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. The man in the story saw the treasure before him. He saw the worth, and he gave everything for it. Sold all that he had because it was beyond his reach. Just like the missionary Jim Elliot, who gave everything, gave his life. He gave up everything, just that the treasures of Christ might be seen to others. The fullness of the man's joy is the same joy that we experience when we come to salvation in Jesus Christ. Now, if you're here tonight and you hear salvation, you think, what? What are you on about? We'll come to that in a minute. It's the immeasurable joy of knowing that all of our wrongs, our sins, our failures are forgiven. Do you find it hard to forgive yourself? All of the pain, all of the hurt, everything from your past is gone. Jesus is there when everyone's left. When no one's talking to you, Jesus is there. But do you know, tonight I have a better example of someone who gave more. Jesus was God in the beginning. Jesus is God who appeared to everyone in the Old Testament. Jesus has a throne in heaven. He's seated at the right hand of God the Father. He is the King of kings and he's the Lord of lords. No one is higher than the name of Jesus Christ. There is no one higher. No one more powerful, no one more wonderful, no one more beautiful than Jesus. Yet, Jesus set aside all of his titles, his power, his dominion, just to walk alongside us and bring us back to right standing with the God the Father. Jesus saw that we, that you, that I were broken and that we could never save ourselves. He was born of a woman, and he knew his earthly life was a life of sacrifice, but it was a sacrifice of love. He knew that for us to receive the treasure of salvation, he would need to pay for our sins on the cross. In Hebrews 12, verse 2, it says, "Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." For the joy set before him, the joy of the cross. It's not it. The joy that Jesus foresaw, that Christ foresaw, was the joy he wanted, was reconciling us to God the Father, reconciling us to himself. You are his joy. You're his treasure possession. You may not feel like it, but you are. It was for you. It was for us. It was for me. People outside the walls. That Jesus gave everything up. He's seen us as his treasure. We're his treasure. Broken, in a complete mess that we are. But he sees us as beautiful. He sees us as created in the image of himself. He sees us reconciled to God. The weight of this treasure brought Jesus to his knees in the Garden of Gethsemane. In pain and distress and the horrific agony that lay before him, he knew what was to come, but he'd done it for us. He gave up everything, even his life, that you may have eternal life. So what about you? What would you give up to have eternal life? Have you found the treasure we're talking about tonight? Have you found the cross? Do you know where you're going? Maybe you haven't found this treasure yet. Maybe you're here tonight and you've not been able to find that X on the map of the spot. It's marking the spot. Maybe you're on your knees searching because you know there's something there. There's got to be more to this than what's here. It's got to be more. Or maybe you're just on your knees, driven to your knees in desperation. To be honest, if you're looking for treasure on earth, something that's going to satisfy, something that's going to give you a warm heart, something that's going to make you feel better, something that's going to give you more likes on social media, something that's not going to call you a failure, even though you call yourself a failure, maybe something that's going to help you stop doing the things you do, be it drink, drugs, pornography, medication, abusive relationships. If you're looking to the world to fix your problems, you're not going to find it. And if you are looking to the world to fix your problems, if you're looking for the X marks the spot in the world, you're lost. And you know it. But so were we. We were lost as well. But now we're found. But I can tell you tonight, as we close, I can tell you how to find true joy, true treasure, everlasting peace and fulfillment. And it's not the X, as we say, it's the cross that marks the spot that we all need. And only in Jesus will you find true peace. You can sit in a room with no noise, your head is full of stuff. But only Jesus brings you true peace. Only in Jesus will you be saved from this darkness. Only in Christ will you experience this immeasurable treasure that we have talked about tonight. So are you lost? Or are you found? You know, as the band come back up now, I just want to pray for a few moments, because we're all churched. Some of us may not be. Some of us maybe just come here because it's a routine that we do. But I just want you to close your eyes for a few moments as I pray and just think, am I lost? Am I looking to the world, to my friends, to anything else, to drink, to drugs, whatever else? Am I looking to them for peace? Because if you are, you need prayer. So let me pray for you now. Father in heaven, I thank you for your love. Oh God, I thank you for the immeasurable riches of your Son, Christ Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for those who have found him know that peace, that joy, the joy of our salvation, Lord. We know you are closer than a brother. And yes, we fall and stumble, but Lord, you are continually faithful, as we said, to pick us up and help us along. But Lord, I pray for anyone here tonight who has not known you, who has not found you, who is seeking so hard, Lord, I pray, open their heart, open their eyes to know you as their Lord and their Savior. And if that is you tonight, I just pray, just follow me in your heads, follow me in your hearts. But as I say this prayer, Father, I've fallen and I've sinned. I've done so many things that are far from you, but I ask for your forgiveness because you are faithful. As we have heard tonight, you are faithful through many things. Lord, I ask for your forgiveness, and I ask for your Son, Jesus Christ, to come into my life. And if that is you tonight, if you have prayed that prayer, please find someone and tell us. Because what you've done is you find the riches bigger than any haul or treasure chest that you're going to find on earth. You're not going to find it. You will find peace. You will find love. You will find joy at the foot of the cross. It's the cross that marks a spot. It's the cross that brings you peace. Bless you.